This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Clearly the biggest story on Wednesday politically and just about anywhere in America and even different parts of the world is the passing of longtime Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy at the age of 77 following a 15-month battle with a malignant brain tumor. Kennedy, at the time of his death, the third longest-serving senator in U.S. history, trailing only incumbent West Virginia Senator Robert Byrd, as well as the late South Carolina Senator Strom Thurmond. Kennedy won his Senate seat in 1962 in a special election designed to fill the seat after it was vacated by the election of his brother John F. Kennedy as president in 1960. Although just 30 years old, the minimum age to be elected a U.S. senator, Kennedy won the seat despite his opponents saying that had his name been Edward Moore instead of Edward Moore Kennedy, his candidacy would have been a joke. Still, Kennedy won the election quite easily and was re-elected again in 1964 and every 6 years after that. Still, the rest of the 1960s, a very difficult time for Senator Kennedy. His brother, the president, of course, was assassinated in Dallas, Texas in November of 1963. The following year, the senator himself was involved in a very serious plane crash, broke his back, and the doctors at the time said it was a miracle he even survived. Kennedy, of course, did recover, but just 4 years after that, another brother, Robert F. Kennedy, was seeking the Democratic presidential nomination. He, of course, was assassinated at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles on the night of the California Democratic presidential primary. So in the span of 5 years, Senator Kennedy had lost two brothers, in addition to an older brother, Joe Kennedy Jr., who died during World War II. Unfortunately, Senator Kennedy found himself in a familiar position in 1968, eulogizing a brother that he idolized.
Those of us who loved him and who take him to his rest today pray that what he was to us, what he wished for others, will someday come to pass for all the world. As he said many times in many parts of this nation, to those he touched and who sought to touch him, some men see things as they are and say why. I dream things that never were and say why not.
With the three older Kennedy boys being cut down way too soon in life, it was then assumed that Ted Kennedy himself would be the next member of America's royal family to seek the presidency. However, in the summer of 1969, that plan took a major detour. On the night of July 18, 1969, Ted Kennedy's car ran off the Chappaquiddick Bridge in Massachusetts, plunging him and a staffer, Mary Jo Kopechne, age 28, into the waters below. Kennedy was able to free himself, but failed to inform law enforcement that the car or Kopechne were still submerged until after others had discovered her hours later, well after any chance of saving her had passed. 40 years later, the story remains a major controversy because of lingering allegations that Kennedy used his family connections to get out of facing very serious criminal charges related to the death of this young woman. Allegations also persisted that Kennedy had been drunk at the time of the accident and that he was involved in an inappropriate relationship with Ms. Kopechne, something he later denied. A week after the incident, Kennedy went on live national television to explain himself.
Instead of looking directly for a telephone after lying exhausted in the grass for an undetermined time, I walked back to the cottage where the party was being held and requested the help of two friends, my cousin Joseph Gargan and Paul Martin, and directed them to return immediately to the scene with me. This was sometime after midnight. In order to undertake a new effort to dive down and locate Ms. Kopechne. Their strenuous efforts undertaken at some risk to their own lives also proved futile. All kinds of scrambled thoughts, all of them confused, some of them irrational, many of them which I cannot recall, and some of which I would not have seriously entertained under normal circumstances went through my mind during this period.
Ultimately, Kennedy ended up facing much lesser charges, which required him serving no jail time whatsoever. Still, Kennedy maintained his Senate career, being reelected in 1970 by a comfortable margin, although not nearly getting as many votes as he had in 1964. In the 1970s, Kennedy burrowed himself into major domestic policy work, but he also became a leading voice against the ongoing U.S. mission and support of the South Vietnamese. In fact, it was Ted Kennedy that was playing a pivotal role in finally cutting off aid once and for all for the South Vietnamese, which critics say clearly led to the collapse of South Vietnam and other horrors in Southeast Asia in the years that ensued. But as mentioned, it was really in the 1970s that Senator Kennedy began to assert himself as a major figure in the critical policy debates of the time, and as a result became a major polarizing figure in American politics, with those on the left seeing him as a defender of the downtrodden and the oppressed, and those who had no voice against the powerful. Liberals also saw him as a champion of progressive causes as he became pro-choice following the 1973 Supreme Court decision legalizing abortion, and he was seen as a moderate voice trying to find common ground with the Soviet Union in terms of the Cold War and trying to ratchet down nuclear tensions between the two superpowers. Conservatives, of course, saw him as someone antithetical to traditional American values, someone who thought big government was the solution to every domestic problem, and someone who was soft when it came to America's national security, especially during a time such as the Cold War. Several years later, Kennedy's staunch liberal positions found him far to the left of his own party's incumbent president, Jimmy Carter. Kennedy launched a strong challenge to a very vulnerable Jimmy Carter, who was saddled with a terrible economy, the Iranian hostage crisis, and a weak response to the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Still, Kennedy was unable to win the nomination against the president, but he stood up strong for his liberal ideology at the 1980 Democratic Convention in New York.
I am asking you to renew our commitment to a fair and lasting prosperity that can put America back to work. This is the cause that brought me into the campaign and that sustained me for 9 months across 100,000 miles in 40 different states. We had our losses, but the pain of our defeats is far, far less than the pain of the people that I have met. We have learned that it is important to take issues seriously, but never to take ourselves too seriously.
Kennedy, again topped by President Carter in the 1980 Democratic presidential primary, the Chappaquiddick issue playing a key role in Americans not getting behind his candidacy. President Ronald Reagan, of course, defeated Jimmy Carter that year. And throughout the next 8 years, Reagan launched a very different type of policy towards the Soviet Union in an effort to win the Cold War, a strategy that Kennedy strongly opposed. In fact, he opposed it so much he was hoping to undermine President Reagan's re-election bid in 1984 by getting the leader of the Soviet Union a direct audience with the American people, something not known about for another 15 years. History professor Paul Kengor of Grove City College detailed this in his book, The Crusader, about Reagan's efforts to win the Cold War, and he told me about it a couple of years ago in an interview regarding that book.
It's a May 14th, 1983 KGB document. The document was written by the head of the KGB, Viktor Chebrikov, to the head of the Soviet Union, Yuri Andropov. And the subject head says, regarding Senator Kennedy's request to Yuri Andropov. And according to the document, again, written by the head of the KGB, Senator Kennedy was very troubled about the decline in U.S.-Soviet relations, which we all know he was, and he blamed this on Reagan's belligerence, his militaristic defense policies. Kennedy basically had concluded, according to Chebrikov, that the Soviet problem in dealing with Reagan was a communication problem, and that if the American public could just hear from the Soviets themselves without the filter of, as Chebrikov put it, Reagan's propaganda. All right, so imagine this. The Soviets talking about Reagan's propaganda. If they could just penetrate Reagan's propaganda, and if the Soviets could just speak to the American public directly, then these aggressive Reagan defense policies would be countered. The other thing that's very critical, Greg, that the KGB document says is that this is all placed in the context of Reagan's reelection, because it's May of 1983. And it says Reagan's riding high, the economy is doing great, Reagan is soaring, but he is vulnerable in one area, and that's U.S.-Soviet relations.
Despite all that effort back in 1984, Kennedy would later admit that he believes President Reagan was largely responsible for the ending of the Cold War when it did, with the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991. Kennedy's perhaps most outspoken stretch came during the past several years during the administration of President George W. Bush on a whole variety of issues. One of the issues, in addition to health care reform championed by the late senator, was that of comprehensive immigration reform, a version of which would allow illegals currently in this country to stay in this country, which his critics, of course, branded as amnesty. Here's how Kennedy pitched the plan back then.
We need to provide a pathway for those that have come here, worked hard, played by the rules, willing to pay a fine, go to the back of the line, and then have an opportunity to earn the American dream.
But his critics said that that plan just rewards lawbreakers and is only going to exacerbate the problem because people will see if they cross the border illegally, they'll get to stay here with minimal punishment. Kennedy wanted none of that and flew off the handle when talking about those who are critical of the bill.
What are they going to do with the 12.5 million who are undocumented here? Send them back to countries around the world? More than $250 billion buses that would go from Los Angeles to New York and back again. Try and find them. Develop a type of Gestapo here to seek out these people that are in the shadows. That's their alternative.
The other major story, of course, in the past few years has been the war on terrorism, and specifically, the most politically controversial part of that, the war in Iraq. Senator Kennedy, one of the loudest critics of the Bush policy in Iraq, saying at one point that the Iraq war was a Bush plan hatched in Texas for the sake of oil. Kennedy also likened the war in Iraq to the war in Vietnam and said he opposed both of them for basically the same reason.
There was no military solution to that war, but we kept trying to find one anyway. And in the end, 58,000 Americans died in the search for it. Echoes of that disaster are all around us today. Iraq is George Bush's Vietnam. As with Vietnam, the only rational solution to the crisis is political, not military. Injecting more troops into a civil war is not the answer.
Senator Kennedy also rocked his own political party in 2008 when he surprisingly failed to endorse the frontrunner Hillary Rodham Clinton and instead went with the upstart, the freshman Illinois Democratic Senator Barack Obama, for his party's presidential nod.
I'm proud to stand with them here today and offer my help, offer my voice, offer my energy, my commitment to make Barack Obama the next president of the United States.
But just a couple months after that, Kennedy's political career came to a screeching halt when he was diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor in May. Kennedy later returned to the Senate and talked about the emotions he felt when receiving an outpouring of sympathy as well as best wishes from the American people.
They were just spectacular up there. All the nurses and doctors, and we've received an incredible amount of wonderful notes and letters from friends and colleagues in the Senate, and as well as from people here in Massachusetts. It's all been very touching.
Kennedy still remained in contact and was working feverishly on health care reform legislation until his health failed to the point where he could no longer do so, and Ted Kennedy passing away just before midnight on Tuesday, August 25th, 2009. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.